Hi. I don't know how to start this. I'm just kidding.
Awkward hi. Hi.
Well, hello there. How we doing? Hello.
This took a turn, Mikey. Go get him.
I mean, well, I'm just kidding.
Give him the title.
Hi, all you BC. Hello, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there. And welcome to another rendition of the Friday Night Faction Reviews, your weekly WWE SmackDown review team. I am El Jefe Mikey. Joined with me by always is the Professor John. Hi.
Hi.
Even though I saw you earlier this week, it's been a while still.
It's been a few days. A lot's happened in a few days. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since 1999.
Oh my God. That is hilarious. And
go, Mikey, go.
Senor. Senior Lucha, don't. It's surprising to see you here. Did Minnie go back in the basement?
I hit Minnie with an attitude adjustment.
Minnie told us to pronounce the ch in your name, so it's actually Lucha, don't. Is that true?
God damn it. Hold on. I think let me go hit him with another attitude
adjustment. Yeah, just go rock him with that, because I've been saying Lucha, don't the whole day, like a white person would.
Oh,
lucha, my. lucha. Sorry.
I'll have a quesadilla. Enchilada. Yeah, just mess up all of those.
Oh, my goodness.
Burrito.
Just make us some chacos. Wait.
Chorizo. Yeah, just chorizo. Make everything, I think, make the, everything awful.
Queso.
Tangent. Quick tangent. I think the worst pronunciation is, can I have a quesadilla? I was like, what that?
Quesadilla?
Yeah.
What?
Instead of quesadilla, I've heard someone say, can I have a quesadilla? I was like, what?
Quesadilla.
Even the quesadilla, I'm kind of okay with, just because of like Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. But like,
quesadilla is fine because it's like you're choosing to say it wrong, and that's cute. Quesadilla.
Quesadilla? I was like, that's not even the inner.
I felt offended for everybody for that, and I'm not even Hispanic.
Ave Maria, that one's rough.
Yeah, just like the SmackDown. No, just kidding. So, okay, as you can tell, we're talking a lot because this SmackDown was the equivalent. We got a lot of promos this SmackDown.
And we've talked about this about other promotions and it's what we do here. And it's if the promos are going somewhere, great. If the promos are not going anywhere and they're just commercials for things what we've already bought in on, we had 3 or 4 promos for WrestleMania. I'm already in. You already got me here. We had 1 or 2 for the video game, which just came out. Fine, but it's like I'm already in the queue. Like I'm already thinking about it. You don't need to suck up this much time. I will say the pass for me for this one is the fact that The Rock got 27 minutes to just be The Rock. And that was kind of great. That I was okay with that. But it's rare. It's few and far between. Like the wrestlers that can actually hold my attention for that long and make me not hate the product. If that's fair. Is that fair to say? Can I?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that is fair to say. Well, I mean, since we're talking about The Rock, let's just get into that. So SmackDown kicks off with The Rock coming out. And, you know, his entrance music plays. And then they paused the music.
It was his Hollywood music.
Yeah, then they played the Hollywood Rock theme. I was like, oh boy, I know what's coming next. This is going to be great. Say what you will. We've critiqued how much time has been allocated to this whole entire thing since The Rock has come back. I will say I feel that this week was actually decent because I think they finally figured out when to put The Rock on and how long to give him, so that way the rest of the show doesn't suffer for,
sure,
in case Rock goes overtime like we did 2 weeks ago where it was a 40-minute segment.
You know, it is still better than the one SmackDown that me and Professor reviewed, or Minnie and Professor reviewed, that was...
That's right, Luchadon. You weren't there. Yeah,
no,
that was
It was the bloodline for over half of that SmackDown.
Yeah, more than that. It was like 1 hour and 20 minutes of Bloodline. And it wasn't even them in the ring
like
talking.
Bloodline, a match, and then promos for the rest of the SmackDown.
I want to say that was right at the peak of some of the Sami Zayn madness.
Yeah, it was right before Chamber, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why I make Minnie do SmackDown.
That's fair. That's fair. Come hang out with us, Luchado. I think that giving The Rock dialogue and scenes kind of brings the energy down. If you can let The Rock ride and let him do what you know he's good at, get in there, riff with the audience, play to a hometown crowd, which I'm remembering now. Oh, that's right. He spent years in Memphis doing work down in that territory. I can't remember who he was working for. The Rock's going to kill it every time. I love heel Rock. I missed heel Rock. This is the closest to heel Rock I've seen in a while. Not just, I'm going to get angry at you and slap you stuff. Like, this is fun. I missed the guitar, a la Sacramento 2003, I want to say, where he started playing the guitar and yelling at Sacramento. And that started Rock with the guitar. It's fine. I love that The Rock doesn't even try to sing. He just kind of says words out loud, but nails the joke every time. I love that he crushed Ja Morant just to see what the crowd was going to do. It was just so much fun.
That was awesome.
I really
the Moana reference. What you're welcome.
It's so good. My wife, who doesn't know The Rock as a wrestler, was watching it with me this morning, and that's the part where she started laughing. It's like, okay, equal opportunity. We're all here to watch Dwayne Johnson.
And I love the return of the Rock concert, which was super fantastic. Oh, the professor went dark for us for a little bit.
I'm still here. Sorry. Jeez. I'm not sure what that was all about.
What's your name?
I can't spell it. I can hardly pronounce it. That's how you spell Jeff in Sweden. Carry on, Mikey. Go ahead.
I love the return of the Rock concert. So we had a whole entire orchestra. Not orchestra, but we had like a 3-piece band going on, and it was super fantastic. I do appreciate that The Rock got some local like musicians to be a part of this whole segment, which was fantastic as well. The Rock concert itself was hilarious, and then when all the musical shenanigans was over was when The Rock gets serious.
Right.
And so he talked a lot about Mama Rhodes, which was very interesting. Basically, his promo towards the end, after all the musical shenanigans happen, is that he's going to do anything and everything to make sure that Cody loses on night one, mm-hmm. and therefore loses everything on night two. And when Cody loses, he reiterates the fact that Cody is not getting another shot at that title, continuing to play up the I am the CEO of TKO thing.
Right.
I'm going to make sure. I was like, so the Authority 2.0, got it.
I loved it. This, are we calling this final boss Rock? Is that what the term is now in the final evolution of this Rock Pokemon creature? Right? The final boss? I don't hate that. Part of me is like, yes, you're the CEO of a $2 billion company, and you're in the ring singing blues songs. I can appreciate that. I think that's okay. I don't know. A part of me is like, okay, let's see you in the ring. Okay, let's see you run the ropes. I mean, I'm sure he still's got it in him. He still looks like he's in great shape. But I want to see him work a little. And I'm excited to. Like, that's what we're going towards. I really hope it's not a clunker. I really hope it's not this isn't me. I'm going to say this. Internet, come for me. Please don't Goldberg this. Like, please don't Ryback this. Like, please don't walk in and then blow out both your quads and then forget to do a rock bottom. Like, I really, we've put so much on The Rock coming in to do this. And we're kind of hinting at a turn against Roman farther down the line, too. Or something's going to go wrong with the tribal chief scenario as we invoke grandparents and whatnot. WWE's gotten my hopes up before, and I'm feeling that same sort of yearning, like, oh, it's going to be great, and I'm waiting to be dashed, and I really hope that's not the case.
I wanted to put everybody out there to remind her that this feud is between Cody and Roman.
Right.
And Roman has said, like, 7 words this entire fucking feud.
You're right. Well, and
he's done, like, acknowledge me, and do you smell what the bloodline is cooking? Roman Reigns. And then he called, what did he call Seth Rollins that 1 week on Raw?
So he
got cut. They cut it from all the other.
Oh, he got hit for it. That's right.
I believe this was on SmackDown when he called Seth Rollins a crossdresser, I think was the term.
Oh yeah, walking crossdresser. That's right. It was on SmackDown. That's why I don't know what he said. I don't watch SmackDown.
It was it's
the inferior show to Raw.
I get it. Well, we had a few. We'll talk about this later. There were a few hot mic moments that got cut on the SmackDown tonight.
There was I think I saw it on the internet where they actually had to black out the screen because a woman flashed the camera.
Sure, that happened. And then Logan Paul
during the Rock portion.
Logan Paul dropped a FFF or FNFF after he found out about the match that's going to be coming up for him. I mean, The Rock's got fans in Memphis.
He does. And the funny thing is he's actually getting heat from the other wrestlers because he goes on like Twitter and does or like Instagram and does like those like 30-minute promos where he's just dropping curse words left and right. Oh, yeah. And the wrestlers are like, we can't fucking do that. Like, we have to maintain a PG image. And you get to come out here and just start cussing?
Rock don't care.
Yeah, that's exactly what Rock's response was. I don't give a fuck.
Rock's like, go ahead, fire me.
I'm The Rock.
I mean, it's The Rock, but I also feel that the rest of the wrestlers have to find other avenues, like pulling an example. I mean, because it's within the WWE universe. Look what happened on Monday Night Raw when we had Candice LeRae bring up Maxine's dead brother. And I was just like, oof. I was like,
you know what? Yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
I did too. I had to sit there and think about it, but obviously Candace and Maxine probably talked about it beforehand, and so I'm okay with it. I just need the internet to not be double standardy because people have been giving Candace LeRae a hard time, but you know, Christian Cage does the same thing about dead fathers and everyone's cool with it. I was like, what is
I saw a meme about tangent real quick. I saw a meme about Christian Cage talking shit about dead dads. He goes, what if he starts talking shit about this dude's dad? And it showed Benoit's kid. I was like, oh, don't do that.
I don't think Christian Cage would even touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Christian Cage has some class the way that Christian Cage does it, because Christian Cage is amazing at it. And part of me, and this is, I don't want to tangent this because we got a lot to talk about. All the wrestlers that came out of that late Attitude Era 98 to 2003 can do this. Christian Cage, The Rock, everyone, like, get the mic and go. And there's a fine line between it being stand-up comedy and between being exposition, right? If it's too much stand-up, like we were talking about, it gets kind of shticky. If it's too exposition heavy, let me give you who, what, when, where, why, how, we lose interest. If you can get it right down the middle and make the fans flash you in Memphis, you're going to be great every single time.
I don't think it's hard to get fans to flash you in Memphis. It's Memphis.
I don't know. I have friends from out there. They just don't wear shoes. That's what I heard. They're beautiful people. They love it, but half the town don't wear shoes. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I'm going to Memphis. It's Tennessee. There's so much like music out there that like, it's going
to
happen.
To Tennessee. No, you're right. Yeah, that's fair.
My cousin lives out there. He sees it all the time.
Is that a thing in Tennessee? They just flash you for fun?
No, if you do music.
Like if I just walked around with a guitar?
Yeah, there's a chance. It's Tennessee.
Fair.
Because remember, you're the only 10 I see.
Oh, I walked right in there. I had no chance. Lucha, don't. Come on. I had no chance.
Oh, dude. I got to make you blush, you know?
Oh, that's very kind. Mikey, what happens next?
As my two hosts are flirting with each other. Nah, it's all in good fun. The Rock concert was fun. The promo was great. Now that we've kind of, I feel like, ended setting up the tag team match, because we did get word that Cody and Roman are going to be facing off next week in the ring. So hopefully now we can remind everyone and be like, oh yeah, I forgot. There's a match that's happening night two. So after this, we get our... So there's two of these matches. We get a WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championship 6-pack ladder match qualifiers. So
say that one 6 times fast.
That's a lot. I know. It's a lot. But essentially, Raw is just doing straight. We have 6 teams. We're going to put matches. 3 of them are going to go into this ladder match because there's more tag teams on Raw. So 3 tag teams on Raw, two from SmackDown plus the Judgment Day. There's going to be 12 people in total, six teams, ladder matches. And SmackDown's doing it differently because we only have we don't have that many tag teams. So
just putting that
They're doing these weird qualifying matches where this week we have four teams. The winner of those matches will go on to face each other, and those winners will go on to earn the spot for SmackDown, and we repeat the process until we get a second team. But this was a qualifier between Legado del Fantasma and LWO.
How long has this feud been going on for?
A long time.
A while, because I took 2 weeks off, came back, it was still going. And then...
I feel like we've had like two or three PLE since this thing's been going on. They have not ended the feud.
Has it been 2 months since the original Santos in the back of an Olive Garden commercial? Has it been 2 months since that promo?
I think so. And on top of that, too, because we had that weird match at Fastlane, which was what, September, October?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right.
Like, so it's even been longer than that. I'm just like,
I guess so. Yeah. This match was okay. I think they went a little too fast. They rushed the top of it for sure, in my opinion. There was a few miscues here and there. I'm forgetting their names. One guy slipped off the turnbuckle twice, and I was like, please don't hurt yourself. Oh, my God. But it was an okay match. I think it was stuff that they've done before, kind of by rote. They were still selling. They were still feeling it for sure. I kind of wished for a little more, and then all of a sudden it was over. Like, it was right when I was sort of like, oh, they're getting a pace. Oh, they're getting the stuff in. This was like a 3 or 4 minute match. What was more important was happened after, right? So I was kind of like, ah, that's rough.
Okay. It was on the card, though, it makes sense to put this match right after The Rock, because how do you keep the crowd's attention?
Yeah, sure.
Who's doing flippy things?
No, but that's fair. Yeah.
This feud's been going on for a long
ever.
Time.
Well, it's going to go and go and go. It's not going to stop.
Like, Rey Mysterio got written off. Like, before Rey returned, he was written off in November.
Oh my gosh. Has it been that long since Santos?
It's been that long. Yes, since Santos attacked him. It was in November.
It was right before before Survivor Series War Game. Oh my gosh. Wow. But Legado picks up the victory here. They have made it to the finals of this first qualifier. They will go on to face the winner of the second one in probably next week or something like that. And I figured that Legado will be winning because over on the NXT, LWO won their match, and they proceed to move on to the triple threat to see who's going to face Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker for the NXT Tag Team Championships that Stand and Deliver. So I was like,
the Wolf Dogs? Is that their name?
The Wolf Dogs is what we call them over on NXT. It's fantastic. Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker have become they have become more likable for the NXT boys, because separately we hate them.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to lose because Braun's on SmackDown now. But
who knows? See our NXT reviews for our full thoughts, because we're starting to build to Stand and Deliver, which is going to be fantastic.
Right. Sure.
So we go from this match to LA Knight cutting a promo on the stage, not even on the ring.
Didn't even make it to the stage. This whole segment.
Ramp doing this thing.
When was the last time Elena has actually dropped a promo, though?
That is very fair.
I was going to ask that because I missed the last two SmackDowns. Has he not been around?
He's been around, but
he did was he attacked a TV.
That is very true.
He beat up a TV?
Yeah, last week he beat up a TV.
Like, because... like out of spite or like just angry?
I don't know. I watched the review because I don't watch SmackDown.
So...
sorry, Luchadome. Sorry.
To recap everything for everyone, including Mr. Senior Luchadome over here. Last week, AJ cut a promo. LA Knight was watching it on the television, proceeded to beat television up with a chair. And then prior to that, we had LA Knight looking for AJ. So the last 2 weeks, LA Knight has been looking for AJ. AJ has been kind of ducking and diving him, which then proceeds to give us this promo. That LA Knight is just being LA Knight. He talks about how he's going to be fighting AJ, that he wants a fight with AJ, and he's going to hurt AJ because AJ is being petty, flying all the way to Australia.
Which is still like, really funny that that's
13 hours.
That is the origin of this match, because AJ feels that LA Knight cost him a spot in the Elimination Chamber. So what does AJ Styles do? He becomes King Petty, flies all the way out to Australia just to cost AJ, not AJ, to cost LA Knight
Petty. Yeah.
The chance to face Seth. It's funny.
This feud is just purely based off hate. It's, you know, screw you. Now screw you. All right, let's fight. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It gives AJ Styles something to do. Sure, it kind of keeps LA Knight in the I'm over, but you're not ready to give me anything place, which eventually the fans are going to turn on, right? At some point, you got to give a belt to LA Knight because this is taking longer and longer and longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, they should have just done it at Mania. They should just give him a belt at Mania, but no. Let's see how he does against AJ Styles.
And now there's this U.S. Championship title, which is in a totally different direction, and all of a sudden LA Knight's nowhere near that, too. It's really unfortunate. I'm glad they're using AJ Styles. I hope this... how do I say this and not sound like a total jerk? I don't think I can, so I have to say this. AJ Styles is obviously closer to the second half of his career, if not in the second half of his career, as to
LA. He's about to retire in the next couple of years.
You know, a few years from retiring. Like, he's in the second act of his career. LA Knight has a really long first act of his career and is on the way up now. It's such an awkward situation to me now. And you're right. It should be more than just hate you. I hate you too. Like, we're not going anywhere. I wish there was some kind of narrative here.
Some more payoff.
Something, not to go full 1980s, but like, even if it was a relationship thing, or if it was some kind of, not to go like another promotion, but you beat up my son's child in their garage and got blood all over dad's wrestling mat or whatever that was. Like, something here other than just, I don't like you. I don't like you either. Face. Like, ah.
Right. And so LA Knight cuts this promo. AJ attacks him with the steel chair, yells, I accept it to the microphone. And then that's how we end this segment. And match number one of the three matches that got made for WrestleMania official, we're getting LA Knight versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Don't know what night that's going to be yet, but, you know.
I think they'll bring
probably
it.
Night one.
I think probably it'll be a great match, and they work well together, that's for sure. I wish they had a little more underneath them, but other than that, you know, it'll be fun to watch.
We still got a couple weeks to see what they build up to.
Sure. They're cooking something up.
And who knows, they might add a stipulation like the week before, be like, now it's a chairs match. I'm like, baller, let's go.
That could be interesting.
Even though I'm kind of sick and tired of the trope, like, I hit you with the weapon at the beginning of this feud. Guess what? Our match is not going to be this weapon match.
Or make it a street fight at WrestleMania. That'd be
but
great.
Do a real one. Don't do this weird, like, let's walk down a hallway and then walk back thing.
And do like what Randy Orton and Edge did during the pandemic. We had a 49-minute I Quit match. That was a long match at WrestleMania.
But
oh my god!
But if you're gonna do it. You know, don't shy away. Like, make something happen. You don't have to go full Shane O'Mac through plate glass.
Through plate glass.
Sure. Or
Don't do anything that the kid's doing.
Don't do anything. Yeah. Darby does.
That kid probably has 5 years left on his career.
Oh my gosh! I love.
And you
Darby
don't have to do a concessions match. You don't have to do a chainsaw match. You just do something.
Hit somebody with a kendo stick a few times and call it a day.
Yeah,
you know, do like NXT, do a Weapons Wild match where you just have anything and everything that you can use.
Yeah, stuff. Someone get in a trash can and jump off the top of the cage. Let's go.
Fantastic.
ECW.
That's what we got. We got to find a tiny theater, like an opera house, and put the ring up in the middle.
So we got match number one of the three that got made tonight, which leads into a quick backstage segment with Nick Aldis and Logan Paul. Logan Paul is still very upset at two things. He's upset that he hasn't gotten an apology yet from Randy Orton for what happened the previous week when he tried to attack him and then knocked out KSI. Which, you know, we talked about last week, KSI sold that beautifully. And then on top of that, he's also kind of annoyed with Nick Aldis because he hasn't found a WrestleMania opponent, and that's kind of like a rookie move, as in Logan Paul's terms. So Nick said, I'll take care of it. I'll see you later. I'll let you know what that match is, which is like the first half that sets up what we get next. But before we get into the actual match, because again, WWE does this where we get entrant, backstage stuff, second entrant, and then we have the match.
Yeah.
So before we get into the second half with Logan Paul, because he was here twice, this promo was sure.
Fine.
Is this the Jimmy Uso one?
Yeah, then we get into where the Jimmy Uso one.
He like stared into the camera for like 37 years.
That was okay. So like everything
he
we
he did the I accept your match.
I mean, basically. So I will say I did get a chuckle when Kayla come out of nowhere and Paul Heyman screams like, ah! That part was funny.
I think they're fine. I just think we didn't need so many. I didn't dislike the Logan Paul one. I thought it was fine. If anything, we're taking time away from the main event, quote unquote, that was only 11 minutes long. Like all these promos just kind of got bloated by the end. Sure, The Rock took The Rock's time, fine, but nobody gave an inch anywhere. And then we had to rush the last 10 minutes, which is upsetting.
We'll get into that. So Kayla tries to get a word with the Bloodline, you know, figuring out, you know, Jay laid out this challenge. And before Paul Heyman can answer, Jimmy jumps in front of the camera. And basically, I like that this Jimmy is back, you know, because we've been treating him like a clown and he's been funny. But he's like, oh, no, let me remind you, I'm the older brother. I'm about to decimate and ruin your life. I'm like, down. And so we get confirmation that Jimmy versus Jay is officially happening at WrestleMania. So that is match number two that got made here.
Please give Rikishi a special guest referee.
Oh, please let Rikishi be special guest referee.
I've been calling for Rikishi for 2 years. Please.
Yo, actually, if we get Rikishi or one of the elders, but Rikishi would be perfect because that's their daddy.
Man, see Rikishi going there and just flatten The Rock one last time. Oh, let me
get that stink face.
Please stink
get
face.
Get that stink face.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Give the stink face to Roman when everyone turns.
Please.
But. So the promo itself, I really enjoyed because I love this version of Jimmy. But then camera guy gets fired because we hung on his face for too long afterwards. For a while. I was just like, I could start counting the pores.
I accept your match.
Well, some of these moments with the, I don't know if it's the camera guy or if it's the booth. Like no one's in the booth making the call to cut to the next camera. They're just
they're like, oh, yeah, hang on. Hold up. Click.
And we've talked about this in the past. Some of these camera guys are in a position where they think they're cinematographers. So they're setting up these big, beautiful shots or they're hanging on things a little too long, like an art house film would.
And that's, look at Elimination Chamber when they are cut into the first Elimination Chamber match and the ref couldn't clock the door and they stayed on for like 45 seconds.
Yes.
As he's struggling to lock the chamber door.
And we're just crushing people. So it's sort of somewhere in between. I think this was fine. It wasn't me jumping up and down excited. It was, oh, okay, great. All right. We're doing that. All right. The Rock's at the bar that high and all the promos after that kind of needed.
It's The Rock. There's only very few wrestlers alive that can compete with The Rock when it comes to the promos.
LA Knight kept it interesting. Logan Paul won. I was like, okay, sure. This one was like, and we're on our way down.
Yeah, I mean, I was entertained by the Paul Heyman screen, but that was about it. And the promo itself served its purpose. It's just, it kind of took me out for hanging on Jimmy's face for too long.
Right.
Which then leads us into our next match. We've seen this multiple times before. Randy Orton versus Grayson Waller. I thought this was still a fun match.
Yeah.
Randy Orton gets the victory here. Not much to say. This was like a quick 7-minute match.
Oh, there was a mistake here. Did you catch Matthews? This one? This is great. Matthews was reading from the script. And it was hysterical because he read the wrong line. So he was talking about himself in the third person. Right out of nowhere. He's just like, let me ask you something, Matthews, as he's Matthews. And then Wayne Barrett had to read the next line. I was like, wait, what?
Corey Graves and Wayne Barrett are like so much fun.
You're behind the, you're not, you read the wrong.
Okay.
It's kind of, it was funny.
Now, if they gotta got the timing a little bit better, I still really like the Austin Theory selling the stunner into the
RKO. Oh my gosh, that was cool, fantastic.
That was really cool.
And it's not like this happened out of nowhere, because Theory's been selling those stunners like that since he's been taking them.
Yeah. Are we talking about what happened at the end? Are we there yet? Can we talk about
it? Yeah, we're there yet, because the match itself, we see, is paint by numbers. We've seen this matchup before. Randy wins. Everything that happened afterwards was actually really fun, because Austin Theory comes in for a 2-on-1 assault. KO comes in. KO stuns Austin Theory, who then hops like 10 whole feet in the air to get perfectly caught by Randy Orton for the stunner. Had the timing, as Senior Luchador said, had the timing worked out better from, you know, that launching point. But that was a beautiful thing.
Just a hair. Like, it was still wild to see. I love Kevin Owens almost getting RKO'd and then be like, no, what are you doing? And then they take a minute to be like, oh yeah, sorry. And then we find out that this is going to be a triple threat for Logan Paul's title. And Kevin Owens and Randy Orton stand there for a second like, okay, do we have beef? No, we don't have a beef. And you can see them talking like, I don't have a problem with you. I don't have a problem with you either. We're just going to beat up him, which I thought was really which was a cool moment to see. Logan Paul drops like 4 F-bombs in a row, forgetting he's on TV. The camera's right there. They cut away for the second one. They catch the third and fourth one, it looked like. The sound cuts out. And you're like, why'd the sound cut out? Because he's up there going, F-F-F-F-F-F-F. Like, yeah, I can't do that. You're on TV.
Well, we got fined, but Logan Paul has money upon money, so he probably didn't care.
Yeah, when you evade your taxes, you get to keep all that money.
Oh, yeah, when you go live in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
Human. With a triceratops skull in your house.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, since we're on the topic of Logan Paul really quickly, because I would like to, because it was over the last couple days where we got the announcement that in Logan Paul's home, you know, I put in air quotes because who knows where this kid lives, but SummerSlam is happening in, you know, Cleveland.
Well, he's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
He lives in Puerto Rico now.
Sure. but SummerSlam is happening Saturday, August 3rd, which is really interesting because, you know, we have post-WrestleMania, we have Backlash in May, and then once we get there, we have Money in the Bank in July, at the beginning of July, then we have SummerSlam, and then at the end of the month, is the Bash in Berlin, too, which is really interesting to see. But SummerSlam is happening in August, so... hopefully it's better than the last two SummerSlams.
Yeah.
Last year's wasn't as bad, but 2 years ago?
Right. We were all kind of meh about last year's SummerSlam, too. We were all here like, really? This is what? Okay.
But Tribal Combat. That's all I'll say.
That's how not to do a street fight.
That was bloated. Anyway. Was crazy. But yeah. So triple threat for the United States Championship. Those are the three matches we got confirmed for WrestleMania during this episode of SmackDown, which leads us into a quick segment / promo from Dakota Kai and the rest of Damage Control.
Mm-hmm.
I love Dakota Kai finally being able to wrestle again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's been a whole year since she's, you know, been here. So now it's been like a year and a half since she's been in the ring. Between her and Tegan Nox, I don't know who has the worst string of luck when it comes to coming back and then getting injured again.
Nikita Lyons,
yeah.
Nikita Lyons too. Oh my gosh, between those three, crazy. Yeah. But Dakota promises that she's going to end Bayley before she gets a chance to fight Io at WrestleMania. And we'll talk about the match later because you lied to me.
Yes, they did. Ugh.
So we're gonna reserve something. What's up?
As of right now. For the second year in a row, guess who doesn't have a WrestleMania match? Two people I can think of right now. As of right now.
Our women's Solo Sokoa. Tag teams.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Lashley.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Once again, another WrestleMania.
But why, though? Do we
I
know
don't
why?
Know.
I don't. Like, can we get, like, Zilla Fatu to come get signed by and have him face Roman. Solo
Seriously,
Sokoa, make them do a tribal the bloodline, whatever it was called, the fight they fucked up at SummerSlam.
Tribal Combat.
Tribal Combat.
I don't know, man.
make them do it and watch Zillow do like a shooting star press because that dude is stupidly athletic for some reason.
It's hard. I get that you have this massive roster and you're trying to get everybody in there. Fine. But at some point, what? Of course I would feel jaded and upset. Like, you're not being used. Like, what's going on?
Like, Solo was used in a big spot. Why couldn't he have a match?
I don't know.
Bobby and Lashley. He should have had a match. For some reason, they randomly had him come out, flex in front of the crowd, and then leave.
That was the saddest thing last year. Yeah.
I appreciate that they're not running themselves into the ground like they were 10, 15, previous 20 years ago, right? Like 230 days a year or whatever else it is, right? So I get that. But also, like, where are you all at? Come on. Anyway,
the only thing I'm waiting to see is, I know because they're involved with the Bayley EO storyline, but do we have any plans for our women's tag champs to at least have a match on the show? Yeah, like, what is Asuka and Kairi going to be doing?
They might have a kickoff. Right. They might do a kickoff because there's going to be probably two kickoff shows between 1 and 9-2.
And we get the women's tag once again on the kickoff show. Probably what's going to end up happening probably it's going to end up being Asuka and Kairi versus
Zoe Starks.
Man, it's already a six-hour event and the kickoff. Man,
the other thing might be the Kabuki Warriors versus Naomi and Bianca. That's what I've also heard could happen too.
Shayna Baszler is wrestling an independent wrestling show. Did y'all see that?
Yeah. I think that's great.
They broke that a couple days ago.
Triple H is cool with it.
She's going to be at Bloodsport.
When was the last time we've seen that?
Never. Vince McMahon never really allowed that, ever.
The last time we saw something, but I mean, it would have been a slap in the face, and WWE probably would have gotten hot water with fans, is when they let Shinsuke go to Japan to be a part of Muda's final match.
But Great Muda also had WWE ties, so they let that happen.
That is very fair, too.
Like, the only time all the time I think about this, and it happened a long time ago during Super Cena's run, is in West Newberry, a promotion was doing a charity event, and Vince and Cena were there.
Okay.
They did an independent show out there for charity, but like, that was like 15 years ago.
Oh, sure.
But the fact that,
go ahead, Mikey, go.
I love that Shayna's getting to do this because we're not doing anything with her, so, which is sad because Shayna should be booked better than what she is.
So it's like Triple H is letting wrestlers do any other promotion except for AEW.
Which, I mean, that's a whole conversation we could have for a different podcast.
That's a podcast episode, not a review.
Yeah, that's a podcast episode. But, you know, we...
Forbidden doors.
Well, okay. So let's continue, and then we can talk afterwards.
I was like, we can open a whole can talking about that.
Yeah, but we got to focus on SmackDown. That's how crazy this episode was, because it was... Anyways, so after Dakota Kai and Damage Control, we get... Legado del... Okay, so I had to be honest. Legado is out once again. I was just like, did I miss something? Like, are we replaying what we saw earlier? Like, I was like, exact same place, exact same... Santos is having a match. Cool. And then out comes Dragon Lee. And I'm sitting here, and I was like, Dragon Lee is kind of like... has lost a little pep in his step. I'm wondering if he's hurt because he was walking a little funny down to the ring. I'm like, oh, please don't be hurt. Like, we don't need that.
Sure.
Was he
hurt or was he just not happy with what was about to happen to him?
Well, I mean, I felt him if he wasn't happy because this was a shorter match than what happened last week.
Yes, this
was like a minute and 22 seconds. Oh my gosh, that's what I was going to speak to,
was the fact that our LWO versus Phantasma and then this match were hella short. And I was like, what are we doing again?
Well, wasn't this like a couple months ago, they're like, Dragon Lee was going to be like the next like huge luchador.
Huge.
Now he's just being squashed out.
Squashed.
He's being jobbed out. I'm like, why?
Nothing. Yeah.
Which is same because I thought Papa H really liked him.
I don't know if it's Papa H or whoever else, but I was just like, y'all sent him back to NXT because you had him be North American champion because Mustafa. Well, there were a couple of things. I mean, Wesley was hurt.
Sure.
And so then you built up Mustafa Ali and then decided to let him go. I'm still not over that one.
That still makes me sad when I think
about
that.
I think that was towards still when he who shall not be named was still in charge of the company.
That is very fair, too.
And he who shall not be named just doesn't like brown people. And we've discussed that at length. Carry on, Mikey. Carry on.
Yeah, so you had Dragon Lee go back down there. He won the North American Championship. He was North American Champion for a little bit. Lost it to NXT's big man, Oba Femi. And then, you know, you have him finish up, and then now you're back on main roster. Cool, he's back on SmackDown, so we can continue what we had. And he's getting jobbed out, and he's getting bullied by Legato.
That's rough. Yeah.
That's rough. This match was rough to watch because of how short it was, and I'm mad.
Santos tried to make Dragon Lee strong, which was fine, but after a minute and 30 of pounding, it didn't do anything, and he just got pinned. Bang. And it's over. Like, that's rough.
Then he got beat up by the rest of the group.
Right.
Then he got bullied again, because the rest of the
group. Carlito came out, and then he got bullied, and then Ray came out. Saved everybody.
And then we're setting up Santos versus Ray next week. Which I was like, we just had a street fight like 2 weeks ago. What?
Look, this match needed to happen because they haven't fought since Ray came back from injury, since Santos came, like, hurt him.
Sure.
So like, this match needs to happen. I'm hoping once this match is done over and over with.
Yeah. This was the first time I think Ray has shown his age, at least to me. Ray looked a little like he'd taken some time off. He's always going to be in fantastic shape. But this was the first time where I went, oh, yeah, you're in your 50s. Yeah. Okay. Like, that's the first time I saw that. Like, ah, okay, it's wearing on you now. All right, fine.
When I saw the clip of him returning and when he was in Scottsdale, that's what I saw. Because I saw the gray on his beard. And I was oh.
Time comes for us all. Yeah.
That's
tough.
It made me sad. But we're getting Santos versus Ray next week. And unless some shenanigan happens.
Fine.
I am pretty sure we're getting unless we get shenanigans, I can also see them throwing Santos and Ray for WrestleMania. If not on the card, maybe a kickoff. But who knows at this point.
We'll see.
They probably are going to put Ray on the card somewhere because it's Ray Mysterio. And I mean, you're not going to get a better pop than when Ray comes out. But
was there just an alert from, was that just your phone?
That was ESPN.
I know. What was the alert?
I don't know. Let's see.
Breaking news.
Oh, it was the Suns losing to the Bucks.
Oh. Very fun. But sports.
Come on, Mikey.
That was the greatest transition ever.
Yeah. Sports.
Go sports ball.
Sports ball. There's a lot of touchdowns in basketball these days.
Dude, yeah.
He hit a home run when he hit those pins. What do they call it in cricket?
A wicked googly.
The pins is funny. But speaking
of. Go, Mikey, go.
Speaking of pins,
we have our second six-pack ladder match. The qualifying match thingamajig. This was the better of the two because this sees Pretty Deadly taking on New Catch Republic. My only critique about this match, I want better for the Yes Boys. I want better
for
my Yes Boys.
Absolutely, I agree. I thought this match was a lot of fun. We've seen them go up against each other a few times now, and it's always great. They always do something random. Tyler Bate doing that push-up plank thing, Herc up the rope. Even Wade Barrett was like, that's a unique feat of strength. Like, not even sure what to say about it. I thought that was great.
He's the strongest little boy.
Pretty Deadly is so underused at this point. I know there was an injury. I know that they took some time. They had that really funny sketch comedy promo a few weeks back, which was just straight out of Viva La Dirt League. I think they're. I want to see more of them. And it kind of, they were a juggernaut the first 6-7 months they were here, and then they've kind of tamped it down. And you could talk to Andrew, one of the Biconic hosts here at length, about tag team wrestling and how it's not used appropriately or as much as it should be. And I'm starting to really warm up to that and agree. I want to see them more, but this was so much fun. I really enjoyed watching this.
I thought this was a fun match. New Catch Republic end up winning. So either next week or in the next couple of weeks, It's going to be Legado del Fantasma versus New Catch Republic. The winner of that match will secure the first spot for the SmackDown tag teams in that six-pack ladder match. I think that match is going to be fun, but it's like that's 12 whole bodies. But it is smart because that is how you get the titles off of Judgment Day without them getting pinned.
Yeah,
which I am okay with.
Which I
then split the fucking belts.
One Raw team gets it. One SmackDown team gets it.
Split like, the we don't... goddamn belts.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
Judgment. We could see. I think Judgment Day will start to unravel the next handful of months because they have to. They've kind of hit their peak of the ceiling, right? None of them can go any farther because now they're bogged down by their own faction without storylines and plot lines, right? Like they have no narrative underneath any of them, really. There's just sort of...
we still have Mr. Senior in the bank, which I hope, I pray to God he's not cashing on Gunther.
Oh, heck no.
Cash it on Seth or Drew, please. Give Drew... I won in front of a crowd and then loses Damian Priest.
What's the longest anyone's held it? I know we've talked about it here. Is he trying to just break the record for...
If he holds it for another like 30-something days, he has it.
The longest to just not cash in?
Yeah.
Or maybe just keep it forever and retire with it so that you just have it.
Well, like, no, if he doesn't cash it in by Money in the Bank, he loses it.
Was that He'll true? Lose I thought it. You could hold it. Yeah. I thought you could hold it indefinitely, though.
So if he doesn't cash it in by the next Money in the Bank, you have a year.
Which is in July, so he has until July to figure
He's
that out.
But cash it in at Money in the Bank just to win Money in
they
the Bank
always,
again.
And I'm a stickler when it comes to the weird rules that wrestling have because, like, I always believed, and we were told that Money in the Bank, whoever wins it gets to hold it for a year, cash that in at any time to have a championship match. But over the last couple of years, we've been playing hard and fast with the rules because, lest we forget, during the, you know, when the world was on lockdown, Otis won the Money in the Bank for the men in that pre-tape up the tower spot through WWE headquarters, which, by the way, was fantastic to watch the men and the women fight through headquarters, which was hilarious. Baron Corbin committed murder by throwing Rey Mysterio off the top of the building. But Otis wins it, and then Miz like beats him in a match, and then Miz gets I don't want to talk about that cash in during the lockdown. It was
I remember
horrible.
The confusion of all that. That's not the
But thing. Then the best one was, you know, Asuka won, come to find out Becky's preggers, you guys. And so
wait, right now?
This is during lockdown.
Oh,
this is
during, I was like, wait, what?
Becky, did you guys see on the up, up, down, down when Becky released that photo of her and Seth?
That was hilarious. I was like, you always have to do that. Xavier Woods is like losing his mind. Xavier Woods is great. We love him. He's but New Catch Republic versus Legado either next week or in the next couple of weeks. Well, because we're almost at the end of the show. We get the bumpers for what's coming on Raw and SmackDown, and then we get into our main event segment. Okay. This was a 7.5, 7:50 match. Dakota Kai versus Bayley. I wanted more.
I wanted a
and then
whole lot more.
The DQ spot, I was like, well, okay, fine, I guess, because Io gets involved. We really didn't have time for these women to go anywhere.
Bayley alive?
Is Bayley alive?
Yeah, the moonsault spot at the end.
I was just going to mention that. So there were a lot of weird things. I went down a rabbit hole on the internet about just this match. So you're right. It clocked in at 8-ish minutes, and it got 2 commercials, which bumped it to 12 to end the night, which is weird. There was that moonsault that it looks like it got Bayley. The knee got Bayley's head, and Bayley went da-dung off the mat onto the knee almost twice because it's so fast. And she's holding her head hard. Asuka got hurt. No one knows when. If it was like a non-contact thing, Asuka just hanging out outside the ring and then twisted or hurt herself or something got messed up because she couldn't do any of the spots after she got in the ring leading up to the DQ. She was hurt. And she was selling it and she was great and she was trying to mask the pain, but she looked messed up. So everyone is apparently waiting for an announcement about that. No one's too sure. Dakota Kai looked great, in my opinion. Like, I thought she was great in the ring working with Bayley. Bayley was Bayley and gorgeous and still a 49ers fan.
And somehow they slapped each other so loud it sounded like we got slapped.
Oh, yeah. And just wailing on each other. And then it's over, like, that fast. It was like, here's your DQ. Here's Naomi. Naomi can do nothing. Okay, thanks, bye. Like, why, though?
Why? The crowd was weird for this one because
he got set up in a strange way, though.
Okay, so like during this match, this was the second time the crowd started saying the whoop that trick. I was like, yeah. Bro, Trick Williams is not here. Calm down. Save that for NXT. How dare you? I was like, I don't know why or how, but whoop that trick started happening.
The Rock got a whoop that trick chant.
I was like, okay, y'all.
Over Trick Williams is.
That is very fair, but as someone who wants to protect NXT from the main roster fandom, I was like, no, this I will gatekeep you. Not just kidding, but you reserve that for Trick Williams.
Best entrance in WWE right now.
Booker T's ad-libs needs to be officially recorded and put on the actual entrance track. That's great. But then on top of that, too, like, I know everyone started chanting for Bianca to come out afterwards. I was just like, which is fair, because Bianca technically is involved in this because her and Naomi shared that backstage segment when they were watching the Bayley interview, and Bianca basically says, like, no, girl, she made her bed. She's got to lie in it. Naomi feels bad about the whole thing.
There was continuity in wrestling, guys. It was great.
Yeah, but not at the expense. I hate DQs. I mean, I got over this one pretty quickly, but this was not even a full match, and I wanted more from this. I got excited because I wanted to see Dakota return.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure if we get a blow-off match later, that's fine. But what do we do for the next 3 weeks?
What do we do? Sorry.
Or a Klondike bar.
I mean, I didn't want to say, who's giving it to me? Is Bayley giving it to me? There's a lot of things man might do if she's giving a Klondike bar.
I mean,
that's another podcast. I feel like they kind of wrote themselves into a corner here because now Damage Control is immortal and no one can stop them. Okay, I guess
they're just making the faction look strong before Mania, and then Bayley's just gonna win, and it's gonna be like, woo, feel good moment. Bayley won,
it's over. And then where do you go? What do? You have the four of them in a broken faction and Bayley moving on to somebody else,
probably.
I guess
you get Bayley versus Dakota Kai for the women's championship. I guess
I don't hate that. We got women's tag team belts in there too. Like,
Here's what I think is probably going to end up happening. I think because Naomi got beat down, obviously she has beef with Damage Control now. And somehow I think Bianca's going to find her way here. I still hold on to the belief that if we get a women's tag team match, whether it be on the card or on the kickoff show, it's going to be Naomi and Bianca versus Kairi and Asuka.
Okay.
And I think Naomi and Bianca lose because we're starting to, as we saw last week, we are starting to slowly turn Bianca to become more of her NXT persona, which was a little more heelish.
Sure.
Which I'm here for heel Bianca because heel Bianca was so good. You gotta
bring back that hair whip.
Here's what I think. The guy that got Rhea Ripley's gum needs to sell it.
I saw that. I was like, what is happening?
Dude at a Raw show asked Cody Rhodes to give him the gum that Rhea spit out. And Cody got one of the ring workers to give him the gum. He goes, I did it as a joke. I didn't expect to actually get it, but I got it.
Bruh.
Cody Rhodes is down for the memes.
Clone the hell out of that. Like, you now have
an army of mommies.
You have super soldier DNA. Go. Man,
I did another tangent, but
you're fine.
I mean, technically, we're done. Funny.
That's another story, but I don't know what they're gonna do with these women's belts. I just hope it's something good.
Thank you, Luchado. That's there you go.
That's all I care about.
Please do something
please
good.
Have the do something good and don't
fuck the women. Something good. Like, wait, what'd you say?
Don't fuck up the women's shit.
There it is. That makes more sense.
We're gonna put that on a t-shirt now. Don't.
That's our shirt's still gotta be. If it makes sense, they're not gonna do it. Like, that's still our
program. We're gonna figure that out. It's gonna be fantastic. You know,
if He Who Shall Not Be Named wasn't such a bad figure, I would say we could put his face on it, but
no, I'm not putting his face on my body.
No. We'll put Vince Russo on it instead.
Vince Russo. Eric Bischoff.
Anyways, so boys, we have reached the end of SmackDown. What do we give this week's SmackDown?
On a mini scale,
we don't speak his name.
We don't what?
It's the Lucha scale. This
is the Luchado scale. Okay. Mini scale?
What luchas do you give it?
The lucha scale? So this is lucha scale today out of 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of lucha scale. I'm taking a few points off just because some of the promos did not hit the way they should have. I think the women got done dirty, which makes me upset. This should be higher because of The Rock and the way The Rock kicked off the whole thing. I'm somewhere in the sevens. If it's seven flat, maybe 7.475 or so. This should be close to 9, in my opinion, when you look at the card and who's on it and who's doing stuff. Some great matches in there, like we talked about, Pretty Deadly and the Catch Clan Republic human thing.
I forget. Catch Republic.
Yeah, thank you. I thought that was a blast. I had fun. I felt bad that LWO kind of got hosed. I felt bad that Dragon Lee kind of got whatever the hell they got. So yeah, I'm in that 7 to 7.4 range, as it were.
Baller.
If this episode was on Raw, this episode would be like a 9, because that means there would have been an extra hour for them to do everything.
Really?
Oh yeah, if they had an extra hour, those promos probably would have been better. Those matches would have been longer.
Is Raw 3 hours?
Raw's 3 hours.
Forget that Raw's 3. That's right.
It's a superior show.
I mean, is it though?
Check out our Raw reviews. They're great.
Before we get too carried away for starting faction warfare.
Are they though?
Yeah, they're pretty superior. They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Lucha don't know.
Senor Luchador, what do you give this SmackDown?
I'll give it like a 6.5, 7. I feel like some of these matches could have been way longer. The promos were, and I'm not a promo person. That's the one thing me and Mini agree on. We're not very big into promos.
Mini loves promos. Mini talks promos all the time.
Mini talks promos because Mini's a dork. He likes Kenny Omega. What's wrong with him?
That's the other shirt we have. Mini likes promos because Mini's a dork. Carry on, Lucha Don't.
I better get royalties for that shirt. But yeah, it set up some stuff for WrestleMania, which has kind of been like our talks, like what they're gonna do at Mania. We only have so many weeks to get these kind of built up, so we got 3 matches, which is good. Now we need to start working on getting those matches to make them feel like, you know, there's some weight behind these matches. But yeah, 6.5, 7.
And I'm also going to give this like a 7 as well. I thought. Overall, the SmackDown was decent. The Rock concert was fantastic. It reminded me that wrestling is fun, which it sometimes needs to be. But I'm hoping now that we've done this final portion, we're getting Cody and Roman in the ring together to remind everyone, oh yeah, they have a match coming up at WrestleMania. Pretty Deadly versus, you know, New Catch Republic. It was probably my favorite match because I had a fun time because those two teams and those four boys are fantastic. But a lot of this stuff was weirdly paced. Some stuff got more time than it should have, and then other things got less time than, you know, they should have. But 7 out of 10, we have 3 weeks until WrestleMania. Yeah, 3 weeks until WrestleMania, so we got 3 more SmackDowns until then. That's going to be the interesting one. So, that was SmackDown. So let's do housekeeping, and then I got announcements to make at the end. So if you enjoy what we do here at BC Wrestle Pod, you can check out the YouTubes for all the other stuff we got here. We pretty much review everything. We have no lives. It's fantastic. I mean, we have lives, but like, this is something that brings us joy. And
I'm like Manny, who does like tournaments and then like talks about stuff in and out parking lot.
Very fair. So make sure to check out everything else we have here on the YouTube channel. You can follow us all over the social medias at BC Wrestle Pod. Pretty much we're everywhere. Or if you want to find a one-stop shop for all said locations, you can find us on the Next Level app as well. Proud to be ambassadors for Next Level, your one-stop shop for wrestling, continuity, community, and pretty much you can find all our social medias there as well as avenues if you want to, you know, drop a tippy poo, a donation. You know, it's tippy time. I'm going to steal Tiffany Stratton's thing instead of Tiffy. It's tippy time. Drop us a tip. And if you want to see more exclusive stuff, you can take it a step further and become a Patreon member, because Patreon is where it's at, where all our watch-alongs are happening. Do you want to see me and Andrew scream like little girls when Jordan Grace made an appearance during the Royal Rumble? Do you want to hear us say some pretty off-color commentary during Revolution? you want to see our reactions when Darby Allin, like, we thought he died when he jumped through that plate of glass. It was time. We all had to look away. It was crazy. But Patreon is where it's at if you want to see the exclusive stuff. If you can't watch our beautiful faces, you can take us on the go with you. We have audio recording like versions of all this as well. So it's fantastic. The wrestling gods are trying to tell me something. And then we are going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. Come and see us live in person. We're going to have a table there. Say hi. Have conversations. Let us know why you're not commenting. Just kidding. But so that's all the housekeeping. And we're going to end on this fun announcement. So the Raw and SmackDown teams are going to be gaining a new member. So as, you know, debuted news-wise on the AEW Collision Review, Macho Rodriguez himself, Luis, is going to be joining the Raw and SmackDown team. So now there's going to be three of us for Raw and four of us on SmackDown.
That's good.
So it's about to get spicy.
A little spicy. Not the spiciest, but a little spicy. Luis is great.
I love him. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Historian of the art of wrestling. Lots to talk about.
Yes, it is going to be quite exquisite. All right, but we're going to get up on out of here. So from all of us here at the Friday Night Faction Review, Minnie, who's still locked in the basement, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, but more importantly than anything, remember, you deserve to finish your story. So we will see you for next. We will see you next time. But until
thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.